we spent the next 4 days in harbour, the first of which was occupied in loading mines and testing circuits. The detonators were not attached until much later, and so the mines were quite harmless during the time we remained in port. They actually did not become live until 20 minutes or so after they had been laid, so as to avoid the risk of misadventures while our own ships were in the facility. This was brought about by the wetting of a soluble plug in the electric detonating circuit. These days in harbour were spent mainly on board ship, but most of us paid an occasional afternoon visit to Grimsby. The flotilla was generally at 4 hours' notice to put to sea, and in emergencies, officers and men could be recalled by naval pickets in the town. The morning was spent on odd jobs. I had sometimes chart room corrections, and now and then confidential books to burn. But most of the time was given to reading and talking, and more than often, arguing. The question of our vulnerability often rose, and we speculated on what would happen if we were chased out of the bight. It was unfortunate that not one of our guns could be trained right astern, and in the event of a running fight, we could hardly hope to bring more than one 12-pounder to bear on the enemy. The chief, however, was confident he could raise our speed to 29 knots with only a slight risk of the engines falling through the ship's bottom. This was a consoling thought, and really not too bad, considering that we were only designed to do 26 or 27 knots. At 4 o'clock, tea was served in an atmosphere of unrelieved gloom, through the tiny scuttles only 4 or 5 inches in diameter. The grey hulks of the destroyers showed up a few feet away, and the little light they reflected had a leaden hue. Most of us had just woken up and groped our way to the table, where we consumed cocoa and toast in silence.